Mike, I'm looking outside. The snow is beginning to melt. We're flirting with spring arriving, which means...
time to look at planning summer travel.
And if you visit national parks often or have never been to a national park before, then you know how time-consuming it is to research everything involved with planning a trip to a national park, from the hiking trails to permits to campsites to accommodations. There's so much involved.
Don't spend months endlessly searching, trying to build the perfect trip when you can do it all with the Moon Travel Guide.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical and sustainable travel. They are committed to the national parks and ensure that all of their guides are up to date with the most recent and most helpful info for travelers.
And we are so excited about the newest updated edition of the Moon Travel Guide to Yellowstone and Grand Teton, Hiking, Camping, and Wildlife. In this guide, outdoor expert Becky Lomax takes you through everything you need to see, know, and understand about these two neighboring national parks.
From the top experiences, driving directions, itineraries, accommodations, local businesses, restaurant recommendations, and without a doubt, the best trail info for hiking trails, this Moon Travel Guide to Yellowstone and Grand Teton has you covered.
For more information and to purchase the Moon Travel Guide to Yellowstone and Grand Teton, be sure to visit moon.com.
Let your heart be your compass. Let Moon be your guide. Everything is so hard and so sad.
I mean, if there was ever an anthem for our times... it sure is that. Uh-huh. Everything is so hard and so sad.
But we don't just say this to open the episode to simply respond to...
life right now.
Life right now in the current administration.
Space that we call a country.
I think we have talked about this. Mike, you are a sleep talker.
Sometimes, not all the time.
But on this particular evening, prior to this hike in Mount Rainier, you said that exact phrase with that delivery in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
You had done this thing where you were like you were about to say something, and I was like, oh, I wonder if he's gonna say something. And then you like reached out, and you just, it was like,
I reached out.
You did. You reached out with your hands like this.
Oh.
And you were like, you were, it was like you were trying to grasp at something.
Yeah.
And as you were saying it, it was like it was slipping out of your... everything is so hard and so sad.
Oh, I didn't realize there was hand activity.
There was handography inside of it. Yeah.
I didn't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, and then are we wrong?
Like, oh, and you went back to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I was always asleep. I just was stating,
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You just
with
you
the
went
subconscious
quiet again.
Was, mm-hmm. Yeah. And like a dormant volcano.
You went quiet. Right. Exactly. But yes, you do.
Mm-hmm.
You've said other things in your sleep. I'm trying to remember other examples.
Mm-hmm.
You've said other things that we've mentioned, and I forget what they are, but do you remember them?
No.
Shocking.
It is shocking.
That you don't remember that.
That's the most poignant one that stands out to me.
Oh, it is. And it was that,
I mean, it's
exactly.
My brand is what it is.
If there ever was anything to say for you while you sleep, it would be that for sure.
Looking for adventure, I want to follow on the trail, or get a little lost and let the wind fill my sails. Get up when the stars still fill the sky, don't wake the sun. There's so much to be done, and the day has just begun. Go where the postcards are real, you can feel, you can open your eyes and open your heart when you gaze at the national parks.
Follow you, I'll follow you there.
At the national parks.
Follow you, I'll follow you there.
At the national parks.
Follow you, I'll follow you there.
Follow you, I'll follow you there.
We would like to to acknowledge that while hiking and exploring the land also known as Mount Rainier National Park, we were on the traditional and stolen lands of the Cowlitz, Muckleshoot, Nisqually, Puyallup, Squaxin Island, Yakima, and Coast Salish people.
The day before this day, we had hiked up the east side of the Skyline Loop Trail. And if you're interested in hearing more about that, you can go to episode 131 to hear all of the details. After we finished hiking, we stopped at the visitor center for a moment. We took a little side trail to Narada Falls after a little drive, and then we got back to our accommodations and took some time in the hot tub.
That's right.
Because y'all, if you're hiking a lot and you can, find an accommodation that has a hot tub. It's a great treat for yourself.
Highly recommend. Mm-hmm. Highly mm-hmm. recommend. We were in a situation where like four of us are splitting something so we could like afford a place that had mm-hmm. something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we loved being able to do that.
Yeah.
Also note, all of these trails that we're hiking in Mount Rainier are on the Paradise side of
right.
Mount Rainier. There are two sides. There's Paradise and Sunrise.
Mm-hmm. And this summer, the plan is to head back and hit Sunrise. We were supposed to do this last summer, but there were some complications and our trip had to be postponed.
We're back at our place. I had to stay up very late that evening because I had to finish editing an episode that was due the following day to go live.
Mm-hmm. We've tried to be better about this in our life so that we don't have to edit while we're away. But
yes.
Sometimes these things happen.
But this was during a time where I was editing everything. Now we split the editing, mm-hmm. which has been a really great thing. So if you've been listening, Mike has also been editing episodes.
Mike's episodes are bad.
I've never said that. You'd never know the difference between who edited which one.
Because so. I was trained by mother, and mother
right.
taught me well.
Mother trained you well. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. Especially when you get notes Monday morning and I'm like, no, go in, take out this pause, mm-hmm. redo it, put it back up.
Mama does give me notes still.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you also give me notes on editing too. So
on life in general.
And life in general. So
stop slouching.
Tit for tat, sis.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yep. I was up way later than I needed to be to finish that, but it got done. And then we move into the next morning. And this is a story we have not shared yet on the show, but this was Sandwichgate.
Mm.
Is what we call it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So why don't you tell?
But I do like the Lifetime original movie title that you've given this, Sandwichgate. Mike refuses to make Dusty Food, a story of neglect. There's two colons there.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
it is what it is.
Uh-huh.
That's right. It
well,
was a two colon story.
Sure. mm-hmm. So I was like the food maven for most of this trip in that I was the one preparing food most if not all of the days, like to be packed. Let me finish first before
you
interject.
Let you finish.
You like immediately went into defense mode there.
Well, you
and this
are
is
setting
where
up a story.
Old wounds are ripped open.
Uh-huh.
And this relationship is torn asunder. I think it actually precipitated the night before because I made sandwiches for myself. We were packing like two sandwiches a day because we were doing some decent hiking. I was just like, you know what? I'm not going to make Dusty sandwiches. I'm like, he can take care of it himself. I've been doing this a lot. It's his turn to like make his own sandwich in my head.
Mm-hmm.
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 The next morning, we were packing the bags and you were like, do you have sandwiches for me? And I was like, oh, no, you can make
oh,
them
no,
yourself.
I did not. Ask the question like that. Thank you very much. I would never ask a question that
that has expectation around it.
Mm-hmm. No, I guess that's the word I would say. Mm-hmm. Do you have sandwiches for me? No, I would never ask you that.
This is how he doesn't tell it. Every morning he wakes up and he's like, where's my breakfast?
There it is.
Where's my sandwiches?
Because yep. I can't take care of myself.
How? I can't believe that you wouldn't have done this already. Mother needs to be woken up with coffee. And cucumbers for her eyes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so to put a different spin on this for a minute. Okay, for the record, sandwich making and lunch making is a chore that somebody does. Meaning like, for example, when someone cooks dinner, someone does all the dinner dishes, right? They don't just do their own dinner dishes. They do all of them, especially if someone else cooked the whole dinner. So typically we've always treated making lunches as the sort of thing. It's like, well, I got the peanut butter knife out and I'm doing this. I'm going to make peanut butter sandwiches for everybody. That's something I've always done for you. That's something you've always done for me. It's the thing we've done as friends for
years.
And so this was...
I think the word you meant to say was eons.
Uh-huh, mm-hmm. Exactly. So this was a little bit of a surprise to me this morning. It also was a little bit of like, I'll just say the attitude at which the information was delivered, because I was sitting there and you were like, if you want sandwiches for lunch, you're going to have to make them yourself, because I didn't make you any. I only made them for me. Like that. That is how you said it. That is, because it made me react the way I reacted, which was how.
You screamed at me.
I definitely did not scream at you.
I think you were like abashed by the fact that I would neglect you.
I just won't know. In the moment, you I was cried. Like, I think Mike is angry about something and has decided to show his anger by not preparing any sandwiches for me in this situation. So I went, okay, fine. If you're going to do that, then I'm going to give you your space and I'll go make my sandwiches. So I gave you your space.
Mm-hmm. And I went into your room and I cut up your wings. To be fair, I wasn't trying to start anything, but clearly I did, because then it was like the Cold War settled over. It clearly struck a nerve. I just wanted to feel appreciated, and I just wasn't for my peanut buttering skills. A tale of two colons.
Excuse me. All I do is appreciate mm-hmm. you and tell you how mm-hmm. much I appreciate mm-hmm. you, but okay.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get back to this in a second.
Mm-hmm.
So originally on this day, we talked about maybe hiking up to Camp Muir.
Mm-hmm. Yes, this was kicked around for a large majority of the trip. Because
one of the things we did not do on this trip was summit Mount Rainier.
No.
Some people go to Mount Rainier to literally summit. It takes...
It's a long time. It's like a full day.
Over 12 hours yeah. and some, you know... on some routes to
and you're starting summit early, like 2 a.m. early
yeah to like be able to finish by like 9 p.m. the following something day like or that, something yeah. like that. So
well no the same day I think you can do it
yeah the same yeah, day yeah. I just that's what I meant
later
yeah,
that day
later that day. So we were not doing that, but Camp Muir is often a spot that people
it's kind of like the halfway
do a stopover. Maybe they'll even do a spend the night at Camp Muir before they'll continue up to the summit to do another spend the night there, to do another overnight, I guess I should say, a spend the night.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, my daughter Jamie was wondering if she could have a spend the night mm-hmm. over at your daughter Samantha's.
It definitely does
house.
Feel like a Midwestern
a
phrase.
Spend the night?
A spend the night.
Yeah, Jamie's over at a spend the night tonight.
Mm-hmm. She's doing a sleep under.
Well, they're covers. They're yeah. under them, yeah. right? Uh-huh. So we ultimately decided because we were tossed around the idea of hiking up to Camp Muir and then just coming back.
Yeah, which would have been a grueling day.
Grueling
like,
day.
Grueling just to do that, the halfway, you know?
But we decided not to do that.
Because it would have basically shot us fully wrung out and would not have probably been able to do something the next day, which was our last day in Rainier. So we just ultimately decided, no, we're going to go in and we're going to do this other half of Skyline and we're going to kind of like meander up to Panorama Point and then McClure Rock. So that was sort of our loose plan. So we ended up driving into Rainier around 7. We did have the park rangers at the entrance station at this point because we were later than we were the day before. And we passed Cougar Rock Campground. There was a pull-off past Cougar Rock Campground that had a bathroom. So we all decided that this would be the best place to utilize the restroom because we weren't going to be parking at the visitor center parking lot like we had done the day prior.
So we park in the campground for a minute and I go in to use the restroom. You also come in to use the restroom. And this was where we were able to have our moment where we came back together.
Mm-hmm. In a restroom.
You were like, you're very quiet. Is everything okay? Are you mad at me? And I was like, no, I'm telling myself a story right now that you're mad at me and punishing me because you decided to not make me a sandwich.
Punished.
Punished. And you were like, I felt like I've always been the one making sandwiches this week and you've only done it a couple of times. And I went, oh, okay, then I can pick up this chore. Sorry about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we moved on.
Mm-hmm. So let the record show that I was the one making the sandwiches more.
Which is fine. But instead of just saying, no, I didn't make you a sandwich, in the future, you could say, Hey, I'm doing this chore a lot. Can you pick it up? You know what I mean?
No, I do everything through spite, which strengthens me.
You can do all things through spite, which strengthens you. Yep. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So we continued from this campground and we made our way to the lower parking lot.
Right. So there's like an overflow lot essentially for the visitor center that is lower than the visitor center. It's not like a crazy distance from the visitor center, but it is a better starting point to head up the west side of the Skyline Trail from here.
Mm-hmm. And this is where we decided to park because we were going to access the Skyline Loop from the west side rather than the east side that we had done the day before. So we parked and we geared up and then we headed toward what would be the west side of the Skyline mm-hmm. Loop.
Now, we had to climb up some stairs here and like it was the trail was not as macadamy like paved as it was when we were headed up the east side. It was almost automatically rough trail.
By the visitor center on this side of the park, a lot of the trails start off from there and a lot of them are interconnected mm-hmm. and a lot of them are paved sidewalks, at least for a little while. Over on this side, that was less so.
Yeah.
It was kind of like dirt pretty quickly.
So there are quite a few interconnected paths near the parking lot areas of the Paradise side of Mount Rainier. Over on this side, that includes the Avalanche Lily Trail, the Waterfall Lily Trail, the Moraine Trail, but we were getting on this side of the Skyline Trail. So most of these trails are to the same place. In this case, that means toward the summit of Mount Rainier.
So we walk about 0.4 miles along these interconnected paths, basically in like a straight shot, and finally get to the intersection with the Skyline Loop Trail where we turn left.
This was automatically more inclined than we faced when we started on Skyline on the east side the day prior. Like we were trudging pretty early here, whereas it was a little bit more gentle on the eastern side. So this is where it's really important to have hiking poles for these trails.
I was so glad we had hiking poles mm-hmm. for these trails because the snow was in and out. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it would be like, oh, this is entirely snow, or there's no snow at all, you know?
Yeah.
So having hiking poles was super helpful. And there were definitely parts of this trail that were muddy.
Yes.
Like very muddy and wet.
The trail itself was, again, much rougher than what we experienced on the other side. And yes, we were in and out of snow, but it was clearer here, but damper or wetter. So it definitely made it a little bit of a messier trail.
Now, the special thing about the west side of the Skyline Loop Trail is that it runs kind of along the side of, and by the side, that's a rough estimate side of the Nisqually Glacier. Mm-hmm. The Nisqually Glacier is up over here, and there's like a whole valley that's sort of to the left.
That used to be where the glacier that used was. To,
yes.
Yeah.
Oh. And where it is no more.
Yeah. And more on that later.
More on that later. But at times we can see that mm-hmm. valley.
Yeah, we're actually, parts of this trail get very close to the edge where you can overlook down into the valley. And it's incredibly impressive. This was a site of Rainier that we didn't get to see the day prior. And we didn't really get a chance to interact with this side where the glacier was. And it's a pretty large glacier. So this is a slow and steady incline as we're headed up the trail. Trees often covered areas to the right and the left, and we journeyed upward, and eventually we were in much more expansive areas, which was mostly covered with snow, but there were clear trail markers. I do have to say that there were way more people on the trail this day. The day before on the east side, we didn't see really a lot of people until we made it up into kind of like the bowl where Skyline turns into Golden Gate, or you can continue on to Skyline. Here, it was just crowded. Throngs of people, but we were also closer to the holiday weekend at this point because we were there right near 4th of July.
So all of these trails in Paradise and in around Skyline are not ultimately like the longest distance. The map will show like distances between like one area and another being like 0.58 miles and 0.3 miles and 0.41 miles. And obviously when one decides where they go, they would combine all of these. Mm-hmm. We were hiking up to a place called Panorama Point and then beyond it to McClure Rock, which ultimately in one direction was be just under 3 miles. But why did it feel like so much, Mike?
The incline.
the incline.
And the trail being rock. I mean, this section of trail to the initial, especially when you're along the glacial valley, is really, really, it's a lot of steps. It's a lot of cragginess, a lot of small rocks. It just was a lot initially. This is just all incline. Whereas yesterday it was sort of like sweeping off in one direction and then sweeping off in another. And the trail wasn't as rough. We were also on snow a lot more, even though that was kind of tricky. It was also somewhat easy in some ways. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
We continued to make our way up, doing these short bursts of like 0.4 miles between like anchor points in the trail that are like noted on the map. And then we do finally get to a spot where we have to make a sharp right turn in order to like head up more to the area known as Panorama Point.
And with that, let's take our first break.
Hey y'all, it's Dusty and Mike with exciting news.
That's right, it's our episode finder. It's all about making finding our episodes even easier.
Want to find more episodes about hikes in Shenandoah? With over 10 episodes across two separate seasons, it would have involved a lot of scrolling and searching.
Now, with our episode finder, you can find all those episodes with a few easy clicks. That way, finding an episode on Yosemite from season 1 is just as easy as finding an episode on Zion, Yellowstone, and Haleakala, all in separate seasons.
With over 275 episodes in 35 different national parks, our episode finder will add ease when finding out more about hikes in these spaces.
But it's not just about hikes by national park. We've categorized our entire library so you can find hikes by state, hikes by terrain, and hikes by difficulty.
And all of our Trail Mix episodes are there too, so you can easily find our science-based episodes, interviews, and more.
Planning a trip to Colorado and want to hear more about our adventures there? Want to grunt it out on some really tricky trails or learn more about glaciers, grasslands, and mountains?
Just click the link in our show notes or on our Instagram bio, and it pops right up. You can also head directly to our website and look for the episode finder at the top of the navigation bar.
Conquer one hike in one national park, one park at a time, with just a few clicks with our episode finder. Happy trails!
Looking for some new art inspired by the national parks? Then be sure to check out our online store, The Gaze Shop.
This season, as we explore the landscapes of Olympic National Park, Mount Rainier National Park, Carlsbad Cavern National Park, and Guadalupe Mountains National Park, we've got some new items and designs coming your way.
Introducing our Olympic National Park and Mount Rainier National Park posters. These 12 by 18 posters make a great addition to any home or office, or a great gift for any lover of the national parks, even if that national parks lover is you.
Whether it's art for your wall or a sticker for your water bottle, you're sure to find something that sparks your love of the outdoors. Visit shop.gazeatthenationalparks.com to bring some of the national parks home with you.
All right, Mike, it's actually been a while since we've played this game. We're going to play Movie of Your Life.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I'm going to offer you, mm-hmm. is we have to think of a question and offer it to each other, mm-hmm. in the movie of your, mm-hmm. life. What is blank, or who will blank?
Mm-hmm.
So my question, or so come up with your question.
I have mine.
You've got yours? Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, so my question is, in the movie of your life, who's going to play your kindergarten teacher?
Oh, it's Think interesting. About your I almost kindergarten did a teacher, teacher question.
And who would you cast to play your kindergarten
teacher?
It would
teacher? Be Judi Dench.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding.
That was also my answer.
Oh, look at that.
Okay, I'm going to have to come up with another answer.
It's okay. It can, oh, they my can both God. Be Judi Dench.
We were both taught. Did, mm-hmm.
so we were both
tell me about your kindergarten teacher.
Well, she would come over and she would stroke my arm and say, we used to do this when we were girls.
And then she'd scream in your face and say, you're not young. I say this to help you. We are referencing Notes on a Scandal because everybody, I don't know if you know this, but we're gay. And
it's a fantastic film.
If we should, ever talk about Judi it. Dench, uh-huh. the reason we love her
is Notes,
is
on,
Notes
a
on a Scandal. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't seen that, what a gift you have waiting for you. What an absolute
Kate
piece
Blanchett.
Of, I would say, seminal work, but I don't know that I want to use that term, mm-hmm. necessarily here.
Yeah, no.
It's Cate Blanchett and Judi Dench.
Just
brilliance.
Being dames
with
on
the
dames.
Music of Philip Glass. I mean, oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So good. So my kindergarten teacher's name was Mrs. Hartman, and she just, I remembered her being kind but harsh. Like, she was an older woman. There was a tenderness to her, but, like, a definite, like, rough edge. She almost reminded me of Judi Dench's character in Chocolat, which she plays a great character there. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'm going to pick a different actor, even though I would have gone Judi Dench.
Okay.
Two, mine is, her name was Miss Haddock, and mm-hmm. she was exactly as you just described. She was kind but harsh, mm-hmm. and like, I loved when she would like get loud at student, like, it was my favorite thing mm-hmm. to watch other people get in trouble, and like, obviously
it's gonna factor real well into my question to you.
Obviously, like, there were times where I was the one who was in trouble, and like, mm-hmm. that was terrifying, but mm-hmm. like, I respected her so much, right? I think I'd probably have to resurrect Elaine Stritch.
Oh,
because
yeah.
she would nail it. Mm-hmm. Like, I want, like, not fancy Elaine Stritch. I want total pedestrian Elaine mm-hmm. Stritch
pedestrian
playing Miss Haddock, who right. I, again, she had all my respect. And what was your question?
What's your villain origin story?
Villain origin story?
It's watching other children be yelled at by Miss Haddock.
I mean, maybe. Villain origin story mm-hmm. from school.
No, just in life.
Oh, in life? In
yeah.
the movie of your life? What is your villain origin story?
What's your villain origin story?
Oh my God, that's a great question. What is your answer to this?
Well, this is when I became a thief. Huh. At a very young age, I remember going to a shoe store in like one of the small towns where I grew up, and they had these shoelaces. My mom talked me into get shoes, and it was like it was not like a Payless. It was like an actual store run. It was like a mom and pop shoe store, and they had on the counter these shoelaces that were, can't even remember what the characters were, but they were like specifically like charactered shoelaces, and I think they had like a neat thing at the end. I guess I had just learned to tie my shoes. This is like first or second grade, and I stole them. I stole
this is a secret
shoelaces
and lies. I've never heard this story, but I'm guessing it still gives you guilt today.
Oh God,
yeah,
the guilt is intense
because you stole
and
have
so
them.
Like. No. Well, where I took them is where every gay boy takes everything they want to hide, the closet.
But it all comes out eventually.
But it all came out. And I would go in the closet. Like, this was like, it was like Gollum in the One Ring. It was truly like, my precious. Like, absolutely.
Oh my God.
Like, entranced with them. And so I would sneak into the coat closet downstairs. And my mom was like, what are you doing in there? And she found them. And she's like, where did you get these? And she was like, I told her. And she's like, great. We're getting in the car right now. And you're going to take
right,
them
Joanne.
Back. And you're going to explain.
And did you do that through tears?
Oh my God. Talk about the guilt that still haunts me to this day.
Oh.
So that is my villain origin story. I can't believe I've never told you that. It's a good one.
No, that is a good one. That is a good one.
Mm-hmm.
This is so hard. Because mm-hmm. I'm just not villainous.
Oh my God.
Okay. All right. This is what I've got. This is what I have to offer.
The pious one over here.
I'm just not villainous. I'm coquettish and just wonderful and unremarkable.
So I played baseball as a kid. I've told you this. Mm-hmm. And I got into this like baseball all-stars summer league. They basically hand-picked people from, you know, like all the teams. And they were like, you can go, it's scholarship. It's like, mm-hmm. you get to learn from all these professional players or mm-hmm. whatever. And they were right. There were a lot of those people there. Mm-hmm. And everybody was very good. And I was just sort of like, I don't know. I found baseball to be okay. It wasn't my favorite thing. But I liked that there wasn't like a timer.
What I liked the most was ribbon dancing. But mother wouldn't let me.
Right. Mm-hmm. So there was this one kid who was so nasty. The entire time. And he was so rude and he was awful. Would cut in front of me in line on purpose and laugh and like would, I mean, he was fully in his villain era.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know if this is the best example of villain origin story. Mm-hmm.
But I poisoned him.
But he, at the end of the week, they were giving out awards. Mm-hmm. And they gave him the award for sportsmanship. And so...
So I poisoned him.
I looked at my mom and dad after they, like, both of them were there. And they, I told them everything about him. And I was like, so after everything died down, I went to the two main coaches. And he was on the other side of the room. And I basically was like, I want you to know what my experience was with that person this entire week. And I think it is absolutely wrong that he was awarded sportsmanship. I'm not saying that I deserved it. I'm saying that someone else other than him deserved it because all he has been is the worst human being. So I don't know if that's villainous or more.
That's kind of righteousness.
That is kind of righteousness. I guess I can do better, right?
Well, you told a story about a villain. It wasn't you, but that's okay because you're pious.
For the record, those coaches did say they were like...
They stripped him of the award.
They didn't strip him of the award or anything like that. They were like... They said all the things that anyone in that moment would say, like, we wish you would have told us sooner, blah, blah, blah. Sure. And I was like, I didn't know you were giving an award for sportsmanship or I would have, like, protested. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I just don't like it when people are awarded for things that they didn't do. Welcome to corporate America. So one of the beautiful things about Mount Rainier is the wildlife.
Yeah.
And I know we talked about marmots in our last episode, but we saw more marmots today.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorite moments on this day was actually there was this little marmot on a rock sunning themselves.
Yeah.
And they were having a wonderful time. And it was like flip flop over. Here's my stomach. Here's my back. Mm-hmm. Here I am. Look at that. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, it was wonderful.
Tip me over and pour me out.
Right.
I mean, we also did have like marmots screaming. This was also, we had a lot of screaming marmots that we were hearing here.
Marmots scream at the same note all the time. What's that note, Mike? Something like that. But yeah, there was one like holding court this day that was screaming a lot. We heard it on our way up. Mm-hmm. And we did see some wildlife a little bit later, which we'll get to in a second. Mm-hmm. But on our way up toward Panorama Point, we were starting to get some visibility that we also got yesterday.
Or the day prior, yeah. Which was that we could see Mount Rainier, obviously. We were literally had kind of the best visibility in these days, as we talked about in the last episode. Mount Rainier is not always visible. We also saw Mount Hood. We also saw Mount Helens and we saw Mount Adams. So it was a Mount St. Helens. So it was a four volcano day.
It was. Mm-hmm. It was a four peak day.
Mm-hmm.
So as we are continuing up toward Panorama Point, we saw Becky's favorite animal. So we saw my favorite animal and then we saw Becky's favorite, which is
mountain goats. Yeah.
And so it was summer, which means that mountain goats are sort of shedding their fur. And more is growing in. So they look like really bedraggled is the best word. They look, you know, like they have
they took a nap or something like that. For too long.
Like it's like patches are just gone. But like there's a whole family of them traveling.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
It was really cool. This is also where we are like making some serious incline happen.
Yes.
Like there's a lot of it's also a lot of visibility in all directions. So it's cool. Off to the right is where we're kind of seeing more of the mountains in the distance, and to the left we're seeing Rainier, but also like the field, the snow fields and the slopes that are to our left are also very impressive.
And it's sort of like being on a ledge trail at this point in time as we're sort of curving up toward Panorama Point. It doesn't feel like, oh, if I fell down, I'm falling down, straight down. Like it's a sort of gradual kind of decline, but it does kind of feel like you're on a ledge trail.
Yeah, it definitely is a trudge to get up to Panorama Point. There are some more like Park Service added trail spots here. It felt like there were more stairs here that had been added. There were actual pit toilets that were like built in to the rock that were here. But we just keep going up because we were like, let's hit our terminal point at McClure Rock and then we can come back and enjoy Panorama Point. So we do kind of take this last little jut that is going to take us up to McClure Rock, which isn't far. It's less than half a mile in one direction, but we have to continue on the Skyline Trail to do this. There is a shortcut that one could take to the Pebble Creek Trail if you wanted to bypass Panorama Point and just head right to McClure Rock. but often this trail isn't as clear and sometimes it's closed as it was on this day. And also we wanted to see the views as we continued up.
So we venture off of the Skyline Trail and onto the north end of the Pebble Creek Trail, because it does continue to go up after like the shortcut is done, to head to McClure Rock. This is where the trail kind of narrows a little bit. Obviously, there's less foot traffic here, so that makes sense. But as we're going up, we're going in and out of like snowy areas and then drier areas. And then snowy areas and drier areas.
This is also, I remember the trail being less clear here as far as what we needed to do sometimes. And it was a lot of trudging up rockier faces of things. And it almost was a little scree-like up here. It wasn't completely, we weren't on scree in total. But the trail became clear the closer we got to McClure Rock. And I just remember coming up and over ledges and then having to kind of jut one way and then zigzag back. It was meandery once we got up to this point past Panorama Point.
Yeah, it was meandery. Yeah. And then we did finally find a spot near McClure Rock, because it's more like McClure Rock isn't necessarily like it is. There is a rock that I guess is named McClure Rock, but the McClure Rock also kind of refers to this area. And so we found a nice little spot at like an apex point to like sit and have lunch.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, typically lunch for us will be like, okay, let's just fuel up. Let's have our food and then get right back to it. But this was a little bit more of a lazy moment. This was like, okay, break out the sit pads. There's plenty of clear rocks here. Let's lay down and sun ourselves, because it was, we were in shorts still on this day, but it was cooler up here. And this was also, oh, we can see Camp Mir from here. Oh, look at all these people that are like winding up towards Camp Mir. They look like ants from here. Let's bust out the binoculars. Let's take out our cameras. Oh, there's Mount St. Helens. And it was literally like just floof up here on McClure Rock. Yeah, we were marmoting is what we were doing.
We were marmoting for sure. And so we sat there for a nice long while and recharged in order to like get ready to make our way back. And with that, let's take our second break. Hey, y'all, it's Dusty and Mike with exciting news.
That's right. It's our episode finder. It's all about making finding our episodes even easier.
Want to find more episodes about hikes in Shenandoah? With over 10 episodes across two separate seasons, it would have involved a lot of scrolling and searching.
Now, with our episode finder, you can find all those episodes with a few easy clicks. That way, finding an episode on Yosemite from season one is just as easy as finding an episode on Zion, Yellowstone, and Haleakala, all in separate seasons.
With over 275 episodes in 35 different national parks, our episode finder will add ease when finding out more about hikes in these spaces.
But it's not just about hikes by national park. We've categorized our entire library so you can find hikes by state, hikes by terrain, and hikes by difficulty.
And all of our Trail Mix episodes are there too, so you can easily find our science-based episodes, interviews, and more.
Planning a trip to Colorado and want to hear more about our adventures there? Want to grunt it out on some really tricky trails or learn more about glaciers, grasslands, and mountains?
Just click the link in our show notes or on our Instagram bio and it pops right up. You can also head directly to our website and look for the episode finder at the top of the navigation bar.
Conquer one hike in one national park, one park at a time, with just a few clicks with our episode finder. Happy trails!
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage Anne Castaway.
Anne Castaway.
Okay. Obviously a reference to, we got a couple references here.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Anne Hathaway, the wife of Shakespeare.
Mm-hmm.
Anne Hathaway, the actress.
Mm-hmm.
And then also the film with Tom Hanks.
Castaway.
And the Wilson volleyball.
Mm-hmm.
So who is Anne Castaway?
Who is Anne Castaway? Well, she's a purge queen, is who she is.
Oh.
She's like Marie Kondo-esque. If it doesn't bring you joy, get rid
cast
of it.
Cast it away.
Cast it away. I cast thee away.
So maybe the merch at her her drag shows is, she doesn't have merch. It's people as admission they bring something that they need to get rid of or want to get rid of, and that becomes the merch that's available for purchase.
Or it's like, hi, I'm doing a show in Cincinnati, and I also have a television show where I go into people's homes and I purge things for them, and I've taken all of the things from their home that they no longer need, and that's the merch table. What do you want?
Great. Yeah, something like that.
I think she's like a HGTV personality and a queen who has performances.
That's right. And I think like whenever she like helps to make over a show, she has maybe these like tiny little like figurine versions of herself that she'll leave in like a room, mm-hmm. as like a little special mm-hmm. reminder that mm-hmm. like Anne was here.
Well, it's like if you've ever been into a Diners, Drive-In and Dives restaurant, Guy Fieri, like, so there's one near where I live. I think we've been there before, but he like, I think often will spray paint the wall with like a, like his logo, like his, like someone's made a stencil of him, and that's his like, oh. Or he like gives you something that you can frame. So okay. It feels very much so like that.
Yeah. Something yeah. like that.
She's not as obnoxious as Guy Fieri, but
right.
you know,
right.
Yeah.
But I feel like her, clean it up and clean it out is her, like
her slogan,
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So what song does she lip sync to?
It's a great question.
She works hard for the money.
She could.
I mean, Donna Summer's always a good option.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I feel like Yakety Yak is
you
always...
You mention Yakety Yak a lot.
I do. I love Yakety Yak.
I don't know why.
Because it's also like a song that like... First of all, I haven't mentioned it in that long.
You...
When did I mention
there
this?
Are several episodes that I have heard you mention Yakety Yak in, and I'm like, God, I don't know what his obsession is, but
I do
is
love that
deep.
Song. It's like the song that was used forever as like a cleaning montage in film. Look at it. Anytime there's a cleaning montage, Yakety Yak is playing.
Okay.
Because it says, take out the papers and the trash.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
Or you don't get no mm-hmm. spending. That's mm-hmm. why I associate mm-hmm. it with that.
Got it.
Also, it's a great song. So why drag me?
I just don't know why you like it so much. That's all.
Well, there's a lot of things I could ask that about you.
Deep into the psyche of that's your right. love affair for Yakety Yak.
Well, I mean, you have a love affair for a lot of things that I don't understand that I let you just have.
Like mayonnaise.
That's it. That is it. And pickles.
Uh-huh.
And your obsession with, you know, deviled eggs.
Ugh. I'm not obsessed with deviled eggs.
You do love them, though.
I like them.
There you
I don't
go.
Know that I love them.
I don't know. You talked about them last night while you were sleeping. So.
I think I was actually summoning the devil is what I was doing.
With the amount you're paying for eggs, I think you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Thaddeus and Gentle, then, please welcome to the stage.
I almost said yak. And Castaway.
All right. So we wrap up lunch here at McClure Rock.
We were there for like an hour, yeah. I think, like 45 minutes solid.
Something like that. Yeah, and
wild.
Then we head down
never do that.
Toward Panorama Point. No, we never do.
No, we never do that. I'm saying we never do that. People should do that. It was lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say we absolutely should do that more. It was an easy and quick return down toward Panorama Point.
This was also Becky doing photo shoot. Because she was like, I'll take photos for you, like, while right. you're hiking. And, like, so it was like, don't pay attention to me. I'm just doing my thing. So
sure.
she was kind of, like, in the background.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And so one of the lovely things about Panorama Point is that there are bathrooms here.
Mm-hmm.
They're mountain pit toilets. Mm-hmm. But they did kind of feel like, clearly, they double as a shelter because
sure.
they're like in like an enclosed, like wooden sort of cabin shape.
I thought it was all stone.
Oh, maybe it was stone.
Yeah, I think it was
maybe
all stone.
Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah.
But it felt very like lovely and enclosed. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that it was warm.
The toilet of your dreams.
The toilet of my dreams.
Mm-hmm. Not unless there's a bidet attached. But yeah, so we spend some time here at Panorama Point. And we take a bunch of photos. This is a very crowded space because it's also kind of like the halfway point on Skyline. Like if you're going to do the whole Skyline loop, this would be a good like midsection to kind of just like take a break. If we had continued on our previous day when we came up the east side, we would have had to hike like from where we were at Golden Gate. I think it was only like maybe another mile and a half from where we had made that turn off. So relatively not too bad. But this was a great spot to also just take another little break and enjoy some time here Becky and Marcy also talked a lot about just growing up and hiking on the mountain here. I just remember that as a part of the conversation on this day.
So we begin our descent from Panorama Point to head back to our origin spot at the parking lot. We go back almost exactly the way we came, except we take an alternate route back. Mm-hmm. We take the Alta Vista Trail back, which is like all those trails toward the side of, paradise. Okay. They're all sort of headed up or down. Like, not many are headed
side
east
to
west, mm-hmm. right? Or west to east. We did take this. It was a little snowier on mm-hmm. that side. Mm-hmm. I remember that. I remember it was like a little tougher to do that than it was to do that stretch via the Skyline Trail. Would have been a little easier, but doing the Alta Vista Trail was a little tougher.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It also gave us like something different on the way back, because when we hiked the previous day, we were able to go down Golden Gate, and so that gave us something totally different. So this was just like a slight... This trail was kind of adjacent to Skyline. It literally was like a little, like, whoop off the side of it, essentially going down.
Yeah.
Because it rejoined back up with Skyline towards the bottom.
We got back to the car. We take off our gear, and then we plan on what we're going to do next, because this was in total about 5 miles that mm-hmm. we had done on this day.
But a lot of gain. A
lot of gain.
Mm-hmm.
And so we decided to make a couple of stops on the way back. We did do a trail that we will talk about in another episode called the Trail of Shadows.
Mm-hmm.
Stay tuned. It's coming up because...
It's my favorite.
It's Mike's favorite.
Because of darkness.
And it was very easy to do that because it was just down the road a little ways. So we were able to get there on the way out. So you'll hear about that soon. But we also want to tell you about this bridge that we stood on.
So... When we were coming in, a lot of the chatter from Becky and Marcy was about Nisqually Glacier and how drastically the glacier had retreated since their youth. Part of the drive up to Paradise is a bridge that crosses over the Nisqually River, which the glacier basically would come to the foot of, like had been there at some point. So similar to our drive back in our previous day where we stopped to look at Christine Falls, we were able to stop. What we actually did is there was a parking lot that was a little past this bridge. So we drove over the bridge, parked the car, walked out onto the bridge and crossed the road, and were able to look up kind of the glacial valley where the river is now and see Rainier. And this was where... Marcy and Becky kind of just talked to us about everything that had happened and how much, you know, the climate had shifted and how large this glacier was, how imposing it was right here, essentially at the bridge. And now we saw it on the mountain.
Yeah, like, we couldn't see it from this bridge.
Thousands of, you know, like
feet away
if not more, like wild. So it really is just... It's a sobering fact, and especially for people who know the mountain very well and who have seen it change in their lifetime drastically, especially like when you're like, oh, this is a glacier and it's coming to this bridge and now it's all the way up on Rainier. Like, it doesn't even extend that far down. So, yeah, we're standing on the bridge.
We're waiting in the dark.
We thought we'd be here by now.
And if you can't tell what years we went to high school with that reference,
there's
then
nothing but the rain, no footsteps on the ground.
Mike actually heard that after he finished college for the first time.
No sound.
So we do get back in the car and we do want to make one other stop. And that was, we wanted to get a little bit closer because there is some water flowing down this valley.
Mm-hmm. In the Nisqually River.
In this Nisqually River. So we drive down the road a little ways, find a pull out. We're able to get on a piece of the Wonderland Trail.
It's kind of like the jut from, like, because we're pretty close to Cougar Rock Campground at this point, and the trail kind of winds behind the campground. And so this is a little bit of a jut off that you would take if you were coming off Wonderland, I think, and trying to camp.
Yeah.
So we cross this road, and the park road, and then head down a staircase that takes us essentially like out into the river valley, which is very rocky, and we can go right up to the edge of the river here.
And so we do. And what we notice about the river is that there's actually a convergence happening. there's the river in front of us, but then over across the bank, over on the side of the bank is like another...
like tributary, essentially.
Yeah, a tributary of water coming in and joining to the Snoqualmie River. But Becky says, do you notice the difference here? Do you see what's happening? The water in the Snoqualmie River is...
brown.
And muddy.
Yeah.
And murky. Mm-hmm. And then the water coming in from this tributary is like crystal clear. Mm-hmm. And Becky asks us, what's the difference that's happening here? Mm-hmm. We do not know. So she tells us.
The clear water is glacial runoff.
No.
No. The muddy water is glacial
that's
runoff.
That's right. The muddy water is glacial runoff because sediment, glaciers are packed full. They've got dirt as a part of them. All of that is melting off and it's catching that along with it. The clear water is snow melt and also rain, but they didn't get a lot of rain. I mean, some
rain. It
hadn't
rained, yeah.
But that's clear snow melt happening and coming out. So glacier melt is muddy and it's got full of, you know, like murky stuff. And then the snow melt is like you're seeing like
packed with sediment.
The snow melt is clean and clear and under control. And so, but when it joins that Snoqualmie River
they converge.
Glacial flow, it'll be just as murky. To take it all the way back to the beginning where we said everything is so hard and so sad. But yeah, then we headed back to the car and we planned our journeyings for the next day, which were to include hiking a waterfall. All right, let's put all of this on the Karen Stone scale. So the west side of the Skyline Loop up to McClure Rock.
I'm going to give it a 6.
Okay.
I think it was tough, but it was fair.
Just like our kindergarten teachers.
That's right.
That's right. I think I'm going to give it a 7 and a half. So that's like, what, 13 and a half out of 20 Karen Stones? Yeah. I think it was like the incline was tough at times. I mean, it's definitely not like 9, 10 territory.
No.
And I don't, it's certainly not 8, but 7.5 I feel like is a safe bet for that. So 13 out of 20 Karen Stones.
And with that, let's end this episode how we end all of our episodes with some Jeopardy-style trivia.
All right, Mike, why don't you get us started with your category?
Wonderful. Well, I took the term or the phrase so hard and so sad and thinking about Mount Rainier and feeling like we were on Olympus. This is all about demigods and gods who really had it tough. And so you're going to need to name the demigod or the god based off of the trials and tribulations that they experienced.
Okay. Here we go.
Here we go. For 100. In this myth, this impressive Grecian musician must travel to the underworld to charm its king and queen into releasing his dead wife back to him. They agree, but the one catch is he can't look back at her the whole entire journey.
Who is Perseus? I'm kidding. No, you would judge me so hard if I didn't know this. Who is Orpheus?
Do you know his wife's name too?
Eurydice.
There you go. Look at that. Mister, it's going to be so hard. I'm just going to sigh it out. Great. For 200. This goddess and queen of the underworld was abducted by her future husband and tricked into staying in the underworld for half the year, much to the chagrin of her mother, Ceres.
Who is Persephone?
Correct. For 300, Erichthonius was a malformed lizard child who was cast out of Olympus after being born when some genetic fluid from this god of the forge, his father, hit the leg and was cast off this goddess of love and beauty, his mother. You need to name both the gods.
Oh my god. Is Hera one of them? Aphrodite.
Yeah.
Okay, Aphrodite and Ares? I don't know. The other one.
Who's Hephaestus?
Oh. Okay.
Girl, you better know your Greek mythology. You went to school for drama.
Know your North American mountain ranges.
For 400, Asclepius, the god of medicine, was born of his mother, Coronis, who died when his father, god of light and poetry and healing, shot her with an arrow, delivered him, and later abandoned him to be raised by shepherds.
So who am I naming?
The father god.
Who is
light and poetry and healing. And it's probably a model for what Jesus ended up becoming. Like, you know.
Who is Heracles? Mm-mm. Hercules? No. Who is Zeus?
No.
What about who is the archer?
No.
No, I don't know.
Who's Apollo?
Apollo. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
And lastly, for 500, this hero and son of Zeus killed Medusa, used her head to turn his enemies to stone, and saved his bride-to-be from a sea monster while riding Pegasus.
Who is Perseus?
That's correct.
I got there.
You did. You got three.
I did.
Yeah.
Okay, great. 3 out of 5. Yeah. I'll take it.
Okay. You got like 3.5 out of 5.
I was inspired by the term panorama point.
Mm-hmm.
And this category is called camera terms with a twist.
Okay.
So it's camera terms that you may be familiar with, but there's a little bit of a twist.
Okay.
And the reason I said with a twist is because it's not a before and after, and it's not a mixed in necessarily.
Okay.
There's just like something extra about it or something a little different about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's called with a twist. For 100.
But is there a twist?
Twist.
Mm-hmm.
If Daisy or Jay Gatsby had their DSLR cameras out and were photographing an elaborate party, but they kept changing this, also known as aperture, we might give it this nickname.
What is flapper speed?
Nope, not flapper speed. What's also known as aperture?
F-stop? What is flapper stop?
Nope, F-stop is the first part of the answer.
Oh, what is F-stop Fitzgerald?
Correct.
Got it.
There you go. You got it. Okay.
But flapper speed.
Flapper speed is pretty good. For 200. Mm-hmm. Literally, this was between 10 p.m. and 11 p.m. on the Lifetime Network every weeknight. But you might also call this when Dorothy, Blanche, Sophia, and Rose get up very early to photograph the sunrise in Miami.
What is Golden Hour Girls?
Sure, or Golden Girls Hour. Either okay. one would mm-hmm. work. Okay, for 300. If this camera term were applied to personal audio listening devices, they would be considered inferior because they only lessen extraneous sounds rather than cancel them.
What's noise reducing headphones?
I will take that, yes. Or noise reduction headphones. Okay. Yes, right. Correct.
Okay.
Good job.
Mm-hmm.
For 400, this punny camera term could be considered the pace at which Belle reacts to Beast's paw.
What is shutter speed?
That is correct. Mm-hmm. But shutter is spelled differently mm-hmm. here because...
U-D-D-E-R.
Correct. Mm-hmm. She didn't shutter in my paw.
Mm-hmm.
For 500. If the characters in the Grease film took a long, wide photo together during the film's finale, they might call it this. Start with the term. What's the term?
What's a panorama?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And
what's a panorama-rama? Getting it, didn't give up.
Correct, yes.
Looking for more episodes like the one you just heard? Then be sure to check out our episode finder for episodes by park, state, hiking difficulty, and terrain, as well as all of our Trail Mix episodes in one helpful place. Click the link in the show notes of this episode, our Instagram bio, or visit our website to make your listening experience even easier.
This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, and we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Gaze at the National Parks was created, produced, edited, and hosted by us,
Dustin Ballard
and Michael Ryan.
To see images from this episode, follow our Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks. To contact us, email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com. And to find out more about the parks visited on this show, visit our website, gazeatthenationalparks.com. That's Gaze, G-A-Z-E.
All original artwork featured on Instagram and on our website is by me, Michael Ryan.
All original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman and Mariella Klinger, with Sean Sklios on guitar. Our music producer is Skylar Fortgang.
We would also like to acknowledge that while recording this episode, that we were on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lenape people, also known as New Jersey.